This is a Hugo Award-winning SF Signal podcast. I'm your host. My name is Patrick Hester. I'm an author, a blogger, and a functional nerd. And tonight I've gathered a bunch of people to talk about nerdy gifts. We have a bunch of people who haven't been on recently, so I want to go through and introduce each one of them. We're going to start with Andrea.
Hello, I am Andrea Johnson. I blog at Little Red Reviewer, which is littleredreviewer.wordpress.com. And I am also a contributor at SF Signal and at Apex Magazine.
And do you have a Twitter account?
I do. It is at redhead5318.
And have we ever tweeted each other?
Yeah.
We have.
I tweet you silly stuff all the time.
I know. I'm just teasing. Alrighty. And next up, let's go ahead and say hello to Rhea.
Hello, this is Rhea. I do book reviews at bibliotropic.net. I also am technically a contributor to SF Signal, though I haven't done so in quite a while, and I feel a bit guilty about it.
And you should feel guilty. I mean, poor John DiNardo sitting there waiting for content to come in from you.
Oh, fine. I'm also on Twitter if anyone wants to follow me. It's at bibliotropic. So my handles are fairly consistent.
I get that. I'm pretty much ATFMB everywhere, which just makes it easier to remember. And next up, fresh from her whirlwind book tour, we have the always awesome Gail Carriger.
Hi, Patrick. How are you?
Good. And you?
I'm doing very well.
And it seems like to me, weren't you recently on another podcast just talking about all kinds of stuff?
Oh, my. What was the name of that podcast, Patrick?
Oh, that would have been the Functional Nerds.
Why, yes, I do believe you're right.
And we had a lot of fun over there, so I encourage people to go check that episode out, functionalnerds.com.
Yes.
And now that you're done with your tour, you're just home and writing and working on book 27 of the Parasol Predictor, right?
Yeah, something like that. Something like that. Yeah, I'm on edits at the moment, which, you know, they're not as bad as they could be, but it's always a slog, so that's what I'm slogging right now.
I understand how that goes. Well, and next up, we have Derek Austin Johnson. Derek, how the heck are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Patrick?
I am well. And Derek, have you seen any good movies lately?
I was looking at a couple of things. There was a...
Did you go see Interstellar? And was it bothering you that you can barely hear anything that anyone was saying in the song?
I didn't really care whether or not I could hear anything that they were saying, honestly. I saw Birdman, which is probably among my best films of the year.
Birdman. Why don't you tell folks about that and what that's all about?
It is basically it stars Michael Keaton as an actor who used to do a series of comic book movies, and he's trying to sort of recapture some glory by doing a. His own adaptation of a Raymond Carver short story in New York City. Very postmodern. It's actually really beautifully shot. It's incredibly moving. It has an incredible cast with Edward Norton. Emma Stone. It's really remarkable. I'd recommend anybody who really likes good cinema, and if you like movies about drama itself, I would highly recommend it. So, yeah.
And are you planning on are you gonna try to review that on SF Signal?
I'm trying to do a one of the things I'm going to do later this month is for my column. I'll probably do a recap, and I'm also going to be on the Mind Meld, and I'm probably going to choose that as my best genre picture for 2014.
Very cool. And last but certainly not least, Mr. Jeff Patterson.
Hi, Patrick. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Not too bad. Jeff Patterson 11 on Twitter. I blog at Gravity Lens, which is at baddaystudio.com. I am currently doing my Bad Day Studio holiday tale of the day up until the week of Christmas, where the new holiday tale will go online. And I am co-host of the Three Horsemen podcast, which is one of these new fledgling podcasts. And we've got some really cool guests coming up, and we've got one annoying one, but, you know, we kind of got to do it.
Oh, you also do the Wednesday Doodles.
Oh, yeah. I never do promote that, do I? So.
What is that?
Well, it's a hashtag. And it's something that Jeff and I do every Wednesday.
Okay.
It's this thing that I started a very long time ago on my blog. Actually, I started it just because I doodle a lot. And I would doodle under the pound Wednesday doodle. And I post them on Twitter and I do these little doodles and stuff. And I've been doing them for a very long time. And eventually Jeff Patterson started. Now, Jeff is not as good at the doodles as I am. I'm gonna throw it out there. You know, he's still trying to get that going. And I tend to do them on Post-it notes.
I have a whole pad of Post-it notes right here.
Totally. I should totally do that when I'm bored at work.
You should.
And the evening is still young, so we've got a few hours, people.
I'm going to flood your Twitter feed later with...
Do it.
And really, I guess it started back, it was a Worldcon with Galen Dara.
What?
Yeah, Galen Dara. And she and I were doodling in a notebook that I had and one that she had, and we would just doodle back and forth. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool if we had, you know, people doodling all the time? Because everybody doodles.
Fun.
Yeah. And so I started doodling, and I started using the pound or the hashtag. Started using the hashtag of Wednesday Doodle and just putting stuff out there. And it seems to have, you know, it kind of amuses people and they tend to doodle. So mostly it's Jeff and I, but other people have done it too.
I've seen them, yeah.
So let's go ahead and talk about our topic today, which is gifts for nerdy people or people who are SF and F. And I told you each, I think, to do like three. But I'm assuming that a couple of you have. Gail, do you have a couple that you can give us?
You limited us to three, but purely on the basis of your goodwill, Patrick, I happen to have five, so.
That's okay. Go ahead. Why don't you give us two?
Okay. All right. So I guess my first one. So I'm a little confused by the premise, but I'm assuming that it's basically the loosely defined term of geek for Prezzies. So one of my first ones that a lot of people don't think about is a subscription to a particularly geeky magazine. So if you have somebody in your life, for example, that is a new or up-and-coming author, then, say, Locus Publications might be a good option. Or if you have somebody in your life who really likes to read, then the magazine of science fiction and fantasy or, you know, Asimov's or any of the above. So those are, and there are a lot of these now offer digital subscriptions as well. So if the person you're buying for has a generic pad device of some kind, then that's also an option.
So you can do both.
Yes, that's true too. Yeah.
So you could do digital and the print version. So for example, with Locus, if you wanted to, you could get the digital and the print version, and then that way you can read the digital on the day it comes out, and then, you know, 27 to 64 days later, when the print copy shows up in your mailbox, if you're like a collector like me, and you want to collect things, you want to have the physical copy, you could have the physical copy.
Yes, that's exactly. And I, or in my case, tear up for scrapbooking, which is what I do. I do. I tear up my Locus magazines and stick them in my scrapbook.
Oh, my God. That's
because
horrible.
I only care about my friends. So
you've traumatized Patrick.
Sorry, Patrick.
Somebody
just,
get the defibrillator.
I'm going to rub some salt into the wounds. I also completely destroy books. Like, I like note take on books and I dog ear the pages and I drop them in the bathwater. I have no respect for
true
objects.
Love will never blasphemy. Exist between the two of us.
Oh, that's painful. That is just so painful. I am definitely, I cannot do that. I am, that's why for me, the library was so traumatizing. You know, I love the books. I want to take care of the books. I want to keep the books clean and happy and safe.
I can just picture you sitting on the floor in the library, like laminating all the pages of your favorite books.
Because you know someone else will torture it.
No, the library was painful
for
me.
Because Gail will come along.
And then Gail will come along and drop it in the bathtub.
She will. She has done this to library books and then, like, returned it to the library and been like, my bad. Sorry, guys.
So that was you.
It was me. That was me. Every time.
Yeah, that was horrible. I mean, I remember in school when I would go into class, they would assign you the books, you know, and someone had written in the books. I would always take it up and say, someone wrote in this book. It's horrible. They've ruined the book.
I have a a history of passing along such books to somebody else to read and them like returning them to me in hysterics because of like what I've written in the margins. Like, but yeah, particularly in like the classics, like Iliad and the Odyssey, I have like very strong opinions on certain scenes and I make them known in margin notes.
Wow.
And someday they will be collector's items if they're not already.
I don't know. They're not very well expressed opinions.
Well, I cringe when that stuff happens. I mean, I even cringe when someone like autographs a book.
Well,
it's just one of those things. And I do have autographed copies of books. I actually cringed. I have three books that Gail signed for me, and when I had her sign them, I actually did cringe.
You're not going to like my gift ideas then, Patrick.
Speaking of which, let's move on to my second one, shall we? So my second one is sort of in line with this, which is in addition to sort of subscriptions to short story types of magazines, another idea is to actually go and get short stories from your favorite authors. So a lot of authors will put up short stories for like 99 cents or less on their website or just for free on their website or on Smashwords and you can take one of these, which is they're usually like, you know, less than 20 pages, and print it out on nice cardstock or something, and then like roll it up like a little scroll and tie it with a pretty little bow, and that makes a great little top of the stocking stuffer. And it's just a really fun way to give somebody something, a physical copy of something that maybe is only available digitally, but that you know, that is maybe access to something that one of their favorite authors has written that they may not even know about. So
sure.
That was one of my other ideas.
Well, that's awesome. You could even do like parchment paper.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You can do it up nice and give it to people. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Jeff, why don't you go next? Do you have a couple?
I can give you two. Well, first of all, I want to follow up on one thing that Gail said about digital editions. I would put out a warning that if you want to get digital editions of foreign magazines, say Interzone or Black Static,
oh, really?
They can be somewhat problematic when you're trying to get the digital editions in the U.S.
Okay. Yeah,
I ended up giving up and just getting the paper editions. They may have rectified this, but it might be something you want to look into if you're looking into foreign magazines. Hammacher Schlemmer.
Bless you.
Has a 7-foot-tall Robbie the Robot. It talks. It is pre-recorded with all of Robbie's dialogue from Forbidden Planet. You can hook it up to your home sound system to talk through it. All of the lights function as they do in the movie, including the blue neons that are curved up the front that go up and down when he talks.
Wow.
And it is a mere $32,000.
Small.
It weighs 140 pounds. It is full size, and there are videos on the site that show you it working, and it is a glorious thing to watch.
Well, I just have to do it. Danger, danger, warning.
No.
I know. No. It's lost in space. I know it's lost in space. It's okay.
It's like talking to a child. Okay, so the one thing that I would say in the more modest price range, if you have a friend who is either a comic fan or a steampunk fan or an alt universe fan, which is a big funky Venn diagram right there, Brian Talbot did two comics called The Adventures of Luther Arkwright and a follow-up called Heart of Empire. Adventures of Luther Arkwright was in black and white, and Heart of Empire was in full color. They are a funky little alt-universe, multidimensional steampunk story full of espionage and stuff like that. They have been collected into a book called Arkwright Integral, which is currently going for about $40 on Amazon. I think it's $56 from the publisher. It's a hardcover. It looks very similar in scope and format to the big Meta Barons hardcover that came out a couple of years ago. Really good story. His art is spectacular. And I highly recommend that. That's actually very high on my Christmas list. I would also remind people that if they are fans of that particular property, that Big Finish did an audio adaptation back in 2005, I believe, and David Tennant played Luther Arkwright in it. So,
oh, that's very cool. Oh, Tennant, did he have the horrible American accent that he's using on that show?
Oh, no, I have not seen it, but
he's got that show. It's a knockoff of Broadchurch, Grace Point.
Yeah, Grace Point was what it was called here. Yeah.
Well, and I remember when he did the
he's still sexy though.
Yeah, whatever. I remember when he did the
hell, I think he's sexy.
Oh, that's all that matters.
Yeah, I remember when he did the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who, that he was joking about how he got back into the skinny suit. next up, Rhea, why don't you give me two?
Two, all right. Well, this one I thought would be really good for any writers or artists that you know in your life right now. I found it while I was browsing ThinkGeek today and lamenting that I couldn't afford everything on the site. It is a blank journal, leather-bound, covered in chainmail.
Oh, that's very cool.
And that is just so awesome to me.
Yeah, that's very cool. And how much is that?
$20 right now because it's on sale.
Wow.
And the other thing I found, I seem to know a lot of geeks in my life who have this crossover with really, really liking to cook. So I ended up stumbling across Final Fantasy cookie cutter sets on Warp Zone Prints, and they have a Chocobo and a Moogle, and I thought that would just be awesome for so many of the geeks that I know, and I couldn't resist mentioning that because they're just so freaking cute.
Well, that's pretty cool. And do you just push those down on top of cookies? Can you go out and buy like a sack of Chips Ahoy or something? You just push them down and you make the different shapes? Is that how that works?
No, it's just like basic cookie cutter. You just press it down and some of it kind of indents.
Right, but can I just go out and buy cookies and then just push them down on there?
Oh, hell yeah.
Or do I have to actually bake them?
Assuming you're using dough.
Can I do it with like Nutter Butters?
What are Nutter Butters?
Oh, good Lord.
Did I just sin?
You don't.
Grievously.
You don't know Nutter Butters? How can you not know Nutter Butters? How can anyone not know what a Nutter Butter is? That's horrible. Derek, why don't you go ahead and give us a couple?
I'll talk about a book that actually might be a lot of interest. It's the new one by Haruki Murakami. It's called The Strange Library. It's actually a... it's a more slender book, but it's beautifully illustrated. So it should appeal not only to Murakami fans, but also to anybody who enjoys libraries or strange, strange tomes. It's really I got to actually hold it as opposed to dealing with a digital copy this time. Really a beautiful looking tome. The other thing I was going to recommend was shelling out the $175, however much it costs. They have released the complete Batman television series from Yes, and the mere thought that these are now available makes me want to hug my inner 10-year-old.
You know that they started that kind of in the comics because DC's been running a new series called Batman 66 that follows the events of the TV show.
Right.
And that's been doing really well.
Yep.
I haven't seen that yet. Now, I was aware of it, but I haven't seen a copy of it yet.
They just adapted the Harlan Ellison treatment that never got made.
Right. I did see that recently. I haven't picked up any of the comics, but if I were going to make a plug, then yeah, that would certainly be something that would be on my list if for nothing other than nostalgia purposes.
Sure, I understand. Yeah, it would have to be for nostalgia because there's just no way.
Absolutely.
I remember being in Chattanooga on a boat at Riverbend, and it was this big music festival, and you would be on the Tennessee River. And you would go through the locks at the dam, and then they would, when you got to downtown Chattanooga, they would shut down the locks and the water would get really calm and you just kind of be there and you're sitting on the boat and you're watching the bands on the main stage. And my boss's wife at the time was there. Well, actually, he wasn't my boss. He was just one of the guys, but he was above me. Anyway, his wife was there and we were talking about one of the upcoming Batman movies. I forget which one. Anyway, she was just, oh, I don't like these new Batman movies. I miss the TV show from the 60s. And to be honest with you, it was all I could do not to just absolutely reach over and, kind of kick her out of the boat.
Well, it's open water. Anything could happen in open water. So.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes, open water. So, Andrea, why don't you go ahead? Give us a couple more.
Sure. Speaking of authors of books that you were not a fan of, actually, both of my first things I think will make you break out in hives.
Oh, you're not going to talk about the Chris Claremont, George Lucas sequels to the Willow movie, are you?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm going to scratch another off of my list. Thanks.
My first item is Jeff Vandermeer and Jeremy Zervas's Wonder Book.
Oh, it's a beautiful book.
Yeah, it's a beautiful book. I enjoy petting it and just looking at all the pretty pictures. And I know that it's a book about how to write, but even for not writers like myself, it's just very fun behind the scenes of how all of these books and world building and how everything happens. It's like a bonus DVD for speculative fiction books.
Very cool. I want that.
Yeah. Yeah. And my next one, this is going to take some planning for people, and it might take some luck, and it will certainly make Patrick break out in hives. But if you're looking to buy a gift for someone and you know who their favorite author is, and that author happens to be doing a book signing near where you live, or happens to be at an event that you're going to, go to the event and have that author custom inscribe a book as a gift.
Yeah, that's not that bad.
Have them write
that's not that bad.
I've been very lucky, and I've had some fun messages written in books for people as gifts, and it turns into this really unexpected, unique gift for somebody. Where
some
they
of
maybe,
us,
yeah.
Some of us will do book plates as well. Not,
yeah.
not all of us, but some of us. So
right.
Even if they're not local, sometimes it's worth it's worth a try dropping an author an email and saying, "My best friend is like the biggest fan of your work,
right.
and you know, would you be, if I sent you a self-addressed stamp envelope, would you send a book plate?"
And right, and again, it takes a little bit of planning, and it might take some luck because you might not be sure if the author is interested in doing that or able to do that. But if you can get it to work, it makes a really unique, fun gift for somebody.
You know,
yeah.
I'd add to that, Andrea, that if you're actually purchasing a book for Patrick Hester, have the author like do a bunch of scribbles and notes all throughout the book, and really deface it.
And like write comments in the margins. They can annotate their own book.
Yeah.
For him.
Well, I think we found a sideline for you this Christmas. So.
Now, I will throw it out there. If you have someone on your list who, let's say, is like Fred. Fred is a contributor. He's one of the horsemen, and Fred talks about bagels all the time. Fred is a huge bagel aficionado, and with the way that the internet is now, and with Amazon and all these websites out there, you could actually get, for someone like Fred, a special delivery. Fred loves bagels, and so, for example, you could go and you could get Thomas's Plain 6 pre-sliced bagels, 20 ounces, and you could have those shipped directly to Fred.
Oh.
And, you know, just really make his day. Really, really make
his
day.
Oh, my God.
I was thinking like the plastic bagels that come with the preschool kitchen set.
Oh, God.
All righty. So let's circle back around. And Gail, do you have a couple others that you wanted to talk about?
Well, let me see. So one of the other sort of is merch. So there are plenty of authors out there that also have merchandising. So, and also podcasts and major bloggers. So if you're the person you're buying for is a big fan of any of these august bodies, you might poodle over to the website. I was on Chuck Wendig's blog recently, and he was one of the ones that I was like, "Oh, right, Chuck has merch," and went over, and he's got a really fun, you know, write monkey, write harder, write faster mug that's up on Zazzle that you know has some of his slogans on it. So, and I think probably Scalzi and others like that, major bloggers like that, also have merchandise. So, and that's a fun way not only to, you know, give them something relatively unique, but also to support an author. So that was one. And also, I'm a big, huge podcast fan, and a lot of podcasting operations have merchandise. So
Sure. Yeah, different ones. We actually never sold anything. We had one at Functional Nerds, and no one ever sold it.
Well,
I made a horseman shirt. I wore it at World Fantasy. So.
It has to be. That's the thing, is it has to be, like, the logo has to be cool. Like, you have to still buy something that is quality. So, you know, like, go to the website with hope, but not necessarily, you might not necessarily find the perfect thing, but. So that was just an idea. And then the other thing that I'm really into is giving gifts as experiences. So I live in a really super small apartment, and so my partner and I don't really give each other gifts anymore. We give each other experiences, so like cooking lessons or something like that. But in terms of geekiness, there are small local conventions that you could get tickets, or just do a cute little IOU if the tickets aren't available yet that says, I'm going to treat you to, you know, a day pass or a weekend pass to X convention, podcast festivals in places like LA, book fairs. You know, you could offer like an experience in terms of being the driver and packing the food or something like that. And then there are also things like World Builders, which is Pat Rothfuss's baby, which offers up Tuckerizations. Authors and all of the proceeds of World Builders go to Heifers International. So you could go and bid on something, like getting a friend's name in their favorite author's book. And also, World Builders is also a vehicle for those of us who have a lot of foreign editions to get rid of our foreign editions. So if you have a friend, their favorite author's book might be available in a language that they speak that's not American, with a different cover. So you could buy them a sort of little extra special collector's style book via World Builders. And also, Amazon has a lot, like Amazon, for example, has all of my German editions, which are obviously in German and have completely different cover art. So you can also, if you must, you can also check Amazon for these things. But
I'm curious, is there an audio version of your books in German?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think the Germans are really big on audiobooks, but
no, I was just wondering if there was an audio version in German and if it sounded like really, really angry.
Oh, probably. Very likely. Whereas in French, it sounds fabulous.
I would throw it out there that also if you have someone like Gail on your list, I know that Gail said her and her partner don't actually exchange a lot of gifts, but if you did, you could give something like a Death Star tea infuser.
Yes, yeah. And I for people who are particularly fans of mine, I usually post like, here are some cool stuff that I found around the web that are like related to sort of my books that are tea related and octopus related and stuff. And that it is also true that that's another idea, is to poodle off to your favorite author's webpage or blog and see if they have a little list of recommended items, like, or to your friend who you're buying for, to their favorite author's website and be like, oh, they're super into the Parasol Protectorate. Gail has a whole bunch of stuff that she's like, here, look, these are cool things. And then my last one is specifically for the ladies, or for those of you who are buying for ladies, which is it's not quite geeky, but a little bit, which is I've really gotten into the custom dress maker called E Shakti, and that's E and then capital S-H-A-K-T-I. And so giving somebody a coupon or a gift certificate to that website, I would highly recommend it. If your lady friend is of a slightly unusual size, for $7, they'll do a fully customized retro-inspired gown dress. So I love them. For $7, so we're only $7 extra on top of the whatever the price of the gown is.
Oh, so yeah. not $7 for the dress.
No, that's like no. You still have to pay for the dress itself.
Okay.
Which are not, they're not cheap, but I've had great luck with them and I really like them and I would recommend them, and so So I just wanted to give them a shout out for if your lady friend is always complaining about never finding anything that fits properly, that is an awesome option.
Well, and I'll also throw it out there that if you have someone like a gentleman who dresses up a lot, there are things like Star Trek cufflinks that you could get.
There are lots of cufflinks out there. I found some ladybug cufflinks recently that I was very enamored of. So that's my list.
That's very cool. Thank you, Gail. So, Jeff, did you have a couple other things you wanted to talk about?
The only other thing I had, which is the continuation of what I think I've probably recommended the last 4 years or so that I've been on this podcast, is volume 21 of the Spectrum Art book, which came out in November. I get this book every year, and I probably go through each volume two or three times every year. And currently hardcover is $30 and change. Paperback is $26 and change. I normally prefer the paperbacks because I tend to, I don't quite dog ear them, but I do go through them quite a bit. And the one hardcover I got, the spine didn't really allow me to open the book as wide as I wanted to.
I just cringed a little bit. I just cringed a little bit when you talk about bending the spine.
I'm sure you did.
I think as long as you don't drop it in the bathtub, you're good.
Yeah, you're fine.
A lake. Yeah, I know someone who dropped a book in a lake at one point.
The Spectrum books have actually gotten significantly bigger since they started doing these things 21 years ago. My God, it was 21 years ago. And I've been really happy with them. They do great high-quality photographs of a lot of sculptural art. They do a lot of good reproductions of comic book covers. And, of course, you know, this is all based on the Spectrum Art competition that they have every year. And it's great for story prompts for writing. The number of holiday stories I've written that I've actually gotten an idea from something I see in one of those books is very high. And quite frankly, it's a series that I think has been a mainstay in the genre for that long. And it gets a lot of credit and it gets a lot of praise, but it really should be a bigger event every year in my eyes when it comes to genre events. So that's my.
Oh, here's one. Did anybody see the Portal Christmas tree? The Portal Christmas
tree. Yes, I did see that.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
I haven't seen that, no.
It's very, very cool. So, Andrea, you didn't see it, but Rhea, you did.
No, okay. I didn't get to see it.
Yes, I did. It was so cool.
Rhea, do you think you could describe it for people?
Probably not that well. There was the top part of the Christmas tree coming through part of the ceiling, I think it was.
Yeah, I think it's the top is coming. The top is coming, yeah. Yeah, the top is coming out of the ceiling and the base.
Yes,
it. Yeah, or it's flipped, and it's got the ring of light around it. It looks really, really cool. The ring of light on both sides.
Yes, it's plunging.
I'm Google imaging, searching it on my cell phone right now.
I don't hang a Christmas tree, but I would do it just for this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fairly cool. I like it. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yep. Yeah, I went to work one day, and Christmas kind of barfed all over my house. So it's all over the place. All right, Derek, how about you? You got some more on your list?
My shopping cart just gets larger each time I'm listening. I'm personally trying to figure out how deep and hawk I can get for a Robbie the Robot. thanks, Jeff. I've got two more, actually, I could recommend. Jeff's recommendation reminded me of an art book that was published earlier this year. It is The Art of Omni,
yes,
which is a catalog of the magnificent artwork that accompanied a lot of the stories in the magazine from 77 or 78 up until it finally closed down in the early 90s. It is a gorgeous-looking book, and I could recommend that unreservedly to anybody.
And it looks like a lot of new scans of some of the art as well.
Exactly.
It's not just reprints of the stuff that they did in the big best of volumes. These look like they're brand new images that were done.
It is vibrant and just amazing looking. And the other thing I'll recommend, I found it on a website called Cool Material. These are faceted whiskey glasses.
Oh, that's cool.
That are very close to the ones you see Harrison Ford drinking out of in Blade Runner. They're pretty remarkable, not just as facsimile, but just the way light hits them as you're downing scotch and that sort of thing.
I saw that somebody had whiskey glasses with the planets printed on them.
See, I'd want some of those also.
Yeah, with the sun, you know, the sun and Pluto were also included. So
yeah,
those sold out in about 10 minutes.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh,
why would it have Pluto on there?
Because it's a planet.
It was a facsimile from 1955, Patrick.
Oh, when Pluto was still a planet. Okay.
I hadn't heard they sold out though.
Last I saw, they were sold out.
Wow.
Oh man.
That's not surprising. They look pretty awesome.
They did look pretty awesome, yeah.
Oh, and did you see that there are now adult underoos?
Oh.
Yes, I did.
And if you want your dating life to screech to a halt.
It's not okay. It's just not okay.
I concur.
Because you know what? Next thing, they're going to turn up at conventions.
Precisely. And nobody asked for ironic pajamas. No, nobody asked for this.
And now I have that in my head. Thanks, guys.
And just because you said that, I'm going to put ironic pajamas on my Christmas list for next year.
Is the hashtag for this podcast suddenly hashtag ironic pajamas?
That'd be a great name for an album.
Would be.
Seriously.
Rhea, did you have anything else?
Not really. I mean, aside from plugging a couple of interesting video games, that was pretty much it.
Oh, which video games?
Well, I know I'm going to be getting the new, what is it? Shadow of Mordor.
Okay.
For a friend of mine for Christmas, yeah.
Did you know that there was like controversy with the Tolkien family over the video games?
No.
Yeah. So they are not happy over the video games. They basically sued New Line and Peter Jackson, saying that the licensing for the movies did not include all these video games and stuff that they're doing.
Oh, seriously?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of a big deal. They felt like it's really watering down the whole thing and just destroying what J.R.R. Tolkien created. I liked the games. I mean, have you played any of them?
I haven't actually played any of them, which is kind of sad, but a friend of mine was really interested in getting Shadow of Mordor, so I kind of promised myself that's what I was going to get her for Christmas.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. What was the other one?
Persona Q. I'm possibly the only person who still plays the Persona series.
Yeah, I don't know Persona Q. What is that about?
It's part of the Shin Megami Tensei series. The Persona games are kind of based around the idea that, how to best describe it? Your persona, it's kind of the mask that you wear to get through daily life, but it's also the thing that can beat up monsters. Persona Q is basically the fanfic version of the combination of Persona 3 and Persona 4. It's a very, very messed up game. I've been playing it for a couple of days now. It's fun, but I really understand what people mean when they say it plays like it's a fanfic. It's kind of trippy.
That sounds like it. Very cool. Have you thought about, like, for authors, maybe getting a flask, like a liquor flask? I had a friend who's a writer who got really excited when his flask came in.
Like a hip flask? Cool.
There are a number of great genre-themed flasks out there, too.
Yeah.
There's Trek ones. There's Firefly ones. There's a whole collection of all the different Star Wars emblems a while back. There was a great Ferengi one that I think was actually larger than the standard ones, but it had spots, so it held less.
Quark. Inconceivable.
Or just get a drinking horn. Who doesn't like a drinking horn?
Yeah.
Whoever had to give up the horn.
Oh man.
Andrea, do you have any others?
I do. I have two others, and I'll go through them. I'll go through them quick. They're both actually riffs on what people have already mentioned. The first one connects with what Gail said at the very, very beginning of this podcast. She was talking about subscriptions to magazines. And I was thinking the same thing, but the riff I had on it was a lot of magazines will offer an annual anthology of all of their original fiction. And if you want to get somebody, if somebody likes short stories, but they're not quite ready for ebooks, they just don't really do electronic. You can get these great print editions. I've been a huge fan of the Clark's World.
Yeah, I was going to say Clark's World.
Yeah.
Yep. Huge fan of them. Really got me hooked on their magazine. Was reading these annual volumes first. Apex does them. I'm pretty sure Lightspeed does as well.
Yep. Yep.
So that's a fun little book of short stories that isn't quite a themed anthology, but it'll still have kind of an editorial theme to it.
There's also the Electric Philosophy.
Yeah. And my other one, Rhea, you mentioned earlier the overlap between geeky people and foodie people.
Yes.
So, of course, I have to mention the Feast of Ice and Fire cookbook.
Yeah.
And I mean, even if you're not into Game of Thrones, it's still actually a really good cookbook. The two women who wrote it, I discovered them before the cookbook came out. I knew them before they were cool. I had followed them on their Food Through the Pages website, which they break down a lot of meals from lots of different fantasy novels, and it's just a fun site. So the recipes... Yeah.
Sorry, I can jump in really quickly and just say that Sirianne, who's one of those women, is doing the same thing for my books. It's called Tentacle and Treacle, and she's doing
a bunch.
When does
that come out?
Currently she's doing a blog for it. So, you know, and testing out all the recipes and stuff. But it's the same high quality, so
yes.
The pictures are gorgeous, and it's all Victorian recipes. Mm-hmm. And I do tea pairings for all of the recipes that she does out of the books. So,
I'm so excited for that.
You can follow that blog if you want
awesome.
To.
Yes.
I think that my favorite recipe out of that book is the Theon Greyjoy bratwurst.
There is for the most <They're> terrible.
Apparently that joke just went right over my head because I still haven't read those books.
No, it's yeah.
Oh, that's
season two.
Out of me.
Ladies, I apologize. I really do. I apologize for all the men in the room. So.
I was going to say that the only unrealistic recipe in the entire book is the rattlesnake recipe.
Why?
Everything else you can actually...
How come? Why?
I don't have the book in front of me, but I vaguely recall a note questioning the legality of being able to buy rattlesnake meat in certain parts of the United States.
Oh.
So they basically said, we made this, but we can't tell you where we got the stuff to make it with.
Oh, that's interesting.
But yeah, all the desserts in the book are really, really good.
I'm going to throw out another one here. There's one, it's called the Elf of the Elf on the Shelf, which is apparently supposed to freak people out.
You don't have to be afraid of elves for that thing to be freaky.
Seriously.
Hey, can I throw one thing in, Patrick?
Are you going to throw out there like the Star Wars AT-AT lawn ornament?
No.
No. I want that.
No, well, it's not that, but just something that Andrea mentioned. You know, it should be said that the last 4 months we have seen a plethora of excellent anthologies. Pour into the market,
mm-hmm.
and to the point where I've had friends say, "Do you have this one?" And I would look, and I go, "No, I don't," and all this stuff. So, if you know, short story writers in general, even if you can't find one of the books that was mentioned, oh Lord, there are so many good ones. Any of the ones that came out in 2014 were excellent, including the. There was another Clark's World one called Upgraded, which just came out recently, which is all about cybernetics that I really liked.
I cannot wait to read Upgraded.
Any of the best of the year anthologies work also.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the Electric Velocity collection that just got released.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the second Nature's Futures, which is all the real short books from the back of Nature magazine.
I was going to throw it out there that, you know, along the lines of what Gail was talking about as far as the authors go and buying their merchandise and everything. There's also, I mean, if you wanted to kind of give back to an author or a podcaster, some of these folks do Patreons, and they have Patreons out there to support their stuff.
Some podcasts will also do like live shows and like, for example, The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe and George Robb just had of Geologic just had a show here in my area, and we had tickets and went to see that, and it was really fun. And, you know, they try and make it more of a performance than just them sitting in front of microphones in front of everybody. But that's another great option. And usually you'll find those appearances like somewhere on the webpage.
Yeah, I know that a lot of podcasters, there's another one, it's Welcome to Night Vale does live shows.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll also throw out there that you could pick up something like the Guardians of the Galaxy DVD is coming out.
Oh, that's so mainstream.
You read my review, which was actually very positive about it. So
you could always get Gail some octopus stuff.
Of course, yes. Please give me more octopus stuff. I have a cabinet full. I always use more.
You could get the inflatable tentacle arms.
Oh yes, yes. That one's adorable.
They're pretty common.
You could also, I believe the Roger Corman version of the Fantastic Four is out there. You could get that for someone like Derek.
I'd be down with it. I'd rather that than fake Roger Corman, like, Drive Angry or something like that.
Yeah, but actually, I mean, we're talking about the Fantastic Four, so really, I mean, they're all really bad.
Yeah, which one?
Yeah, but Corman's is far better than the two legitimate ones.
Of course, if you think those are bad, wait till you see what they're going to do next.
You know, I think I'm doing something, you know, when that comes out. So
I got a thing.
Yeah.
So we have a little bit of time. I want to thank everybody for all their great gift ideas. But since we do have some time, I wanted to ask you guys, what are you reading right now? And tell our listeners a little bit about that. Let's start with Jeff. Jeff, what are you reading right now?
I am currently about two chapters away from the end of Beautiful Blood by Lucius Shepard. And I've been in tears for the last four chapters. It's a spectacular book, and I'm realizing this is the last book of his I'll be reading. So, really, really moving, possibly his best use of language. It's a return to the, Dragon Greal stories of, Beautiful Scale Hunter's Daughter et al. And, highly recommend it.
Very cool. Very cool. Let's go to Rhea. Rhea, what are you reading right now?
I am reading The Martian by Andy Weir.
I just picked that up myself. It's one of those books that I've bought and put on the shelf. And to be honest with you, I've actually looked at the cover and read it.
Okay. it's my local sci-fi book club. It's our book for December.
Cool.
So I get to read this along with five or six other people.
Awesome.
And it is compulsively awesome.
Yeah. What about it is awesome? I mean, what's making it awesome for you so far?
It is a page turner. I'm very curious to hear what you think about it.
I can tell you right now. I've read the entire front of the cover, and part of the back of the cover.
Have you even opened it? Have you even?
But the cover is so pretty.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty.
And the cover is like shiny and embossed and like pearlescent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very
edible. Andrea the Horseman did a whole episode on this. You can go look it up and listen to us talk about it.
Okay, I will.
All right, Rhea, what are you working on right now? What are you reading?
I am reading right now N.K. Jemisin's new novella, The Awakened Kingdom, which
that's
is awesome.
So good.
Yeah, I'm loving it. And I'm almost finished with Karina Sumner Smith's Radiant, which is also a really good book.
I read the 100,000 Kingdoms.
That's the first one in the trilogy.
Yeah, it's a great book.
Yeah, I had put out on Twitter, I was asking people if anyone had ever written a first-person epic fantasy, and the Jemisin book came up, and I read it, and I just thought it was fantastic. I really liked it.
It's a freaking awesome series.
Is it? Yeah, I've only read the first book. So you really liked it? You're really into it?
Oh, I really, really am.
So would you recommend people go out and buy it right now and get it?
Totally, especially because it's included in the omnibus edition of the trilogy, so everyone should go out and buy that, even if they already own the books.
Cool, awesome. And Derek, what are you reading right now? What are you working on?
Yeah, I'm actually reading William Gibson's new novel, The Peripheral. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to be doing a review of that for SF Signal a little bit later in the month.
You're probably going to be doing a review
Okay, yeah, I'm doing a review of that for SF Signal later this month.
That's a lot better, yes, because John is sitting there waiting. He's refreshing the page, waiting to see.
He already knows, and he's already pressured me on Twitter, so...
And are you enjoying it? Are you liking it?
Yeah, I am actually. It's kind of odd, especially because Gibson has not really been doing SF for the past 10 years. So it's interesting to see him pull out the science fictional toolkit and go to work on it. He described it at a reading he did in Austin beginning of November as sort of akin to Daniel Woodrell's Winter's Bone, but with much better and much cooler smartphones. So,
very cool. Okay. Well, Gail, what are you working on? What are you reading right now?
I'm just started a reread of Feast and Wirtz's Daughter of the Empire, which is the first of their trilogy, and I will probably, knowing me, read all three of them back to back because I love them so much. So I'm super excited about it. I try and reread these books once a year, usually when I'm traveling. I don't know why. They always come traveling with me. I run a little book group via my blog, and so that's the book I picked for the book group. So we're all rereading it together, and I'm so excited to introduce people to the series who maybe weren't alive when it was first published, for example, or just never got around to reading it. Unfortunately, it's not really accessible in an ebook form, so some of my fans are a little reluctant to pick it up, but I'm hoping most of them will, and I'm hoping everybody loves it because it's one of my favorite epics ever written of all time. So it's a very heavily political epic fantasy series set in an alternate Japan, and the main character is just the single most brilliantly written, smart, capable, strong female main character I've ever read, and she's great. She's just marvelous, and I think of her as, speaking from an archaeological standpoint, probably the closest epic fantasy has ever gotten to writing what a historical woman in power would actually have had to do and be like. So I can't recommend this trilogy highly enough. So I'm super Very excited cool. to reread it. Eee! Can't wait.
I'm gonna have to check that out because that sounds really interesting.
It's so good. The first one's Daughter of the Empire.
I'm actually staring at that book on my bookshelf right now.
Oh, have you read it?
I haven't read it, but it's one of my husband's favorite series.
It's so good. It's so good. You have to, it's got that 1980s epic, like, slow start. Let me give you a lot of backstory about characters you don't care about yet. But if you can get past just the first, like, four pages, then suddenly you will be sucked in. And it just is genius from there on out. So just have to get four pages in.
Even I can get past four pages.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, what am I reading? I just read something that Gail knows about.
What?
I just finished 2K to 10K by Rachel Aaron.
Yay, by Rachel. Hooray.
And it's a great book. If you're a writer out there and you're trying to figure out how to just produce more words, this is a great book for you. This is a book that you should go and check out. And actually, Gail, what I did was I took the book and I ended up building a Scrivener template based on the things that Rachel teaches in the book.
I built myself a how to do a multiple pass outline template out of that book as well, which if I were a different style of blogger, I'm not the kind of author who does writing advice, but if I were, I'd stick it up on the internet, but I'm not gonna. But it's really, I'm excited about trying that. But you know what you should do, Patrick, is you should go out and buy Rachel's Paradox Trilogy. It's so good. It's a really good series. It's a fantastic, super fast-paced space opera. It's really interesting to look, and she talks about this in 2K to 10K. She uses urban fantasy tricks when she's writing her space opera. And once you know that as a writer, it's really interesting to read that series. So,
huh? Well, yeah, I need to pick that up then. You know, and Gail, when I built this template, I'm sitting there and I built it, and I'm thinking about, you know, putting it up on the blog and releasing it, but I didn't want to cut into her sales of her book. Now, I didn't use anything from her book, you know, I didn't take any text or anything like that. I just built this template based on what she was talking about.
No, you have to you have to know what she's talking about to understand the terminology that are used in that template. So I think, and it's freaking eight, it's 99 cents. You got, like, it's not like just buy the darn book. It's less than a coffee.
Yeah. So basically I just took a Scrivener template and I created folders for plot, for the idea, for characters, for the, you know, all the different pieces and just put together.
Yeah, exactly. That's the essential, concentrated version of her tips. So yeah, if you out anybody out there, if you guys have a writer in or want to be a writer, buy them Rachel's book.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a great book. It's a great book.
Just so people know who you're talking about, Rachel who?
Aaron, A-A-R-O-N.
Got it.
She also writes under Rachel Bach.
Bach, B-A-C-H. And that's what her Paradox series that I was just talking about is written under. It's written under Rachel Bach.
Right. So she's got Fortune's Pawn under Rachel Bach.
Yes.
She's got the Eli Mon Press.
Which is epic.
And
fantasy,
then
yeah.
Nice Dragons finished last.
Nice. Yeah, that's her newest one.
And she writes a lot. She's got tons of books.
Yeah. And she's and obviously, because as you can see from her book, she has some good tricks.
Alrighty, so we've been talking a lot here. We should probably start wrapping this up and do final thoughts. Let's start with Rio. Rio, what are your final thoughts?
My final thoughts are that I really wish I had enough money to buy everything that's been listed tonight. Because this has been awesome. I found so many really, really good ideas. So, especially from what Gail was saying. Like, I think her list kind of beats everyone else's. No offense to everyone else.
Aw, thanks.
And you want to do your Twitter and your website and all that?
Oh, yes. My website is bibliotropic.net. I'm on Twitter as bibliotropic. Feel free to add me, talk to me. I like talking to people. It's all good.
And Derek, what about you? Final thoughts?
I'm trying to figure out how to explain that we're going to be getting a Robbie the Robot and why we now have a $32,000 hole in our mortgage. For most of my details, I'm at DerekAustinJohnson.Weebly.com, and I'm on Twitter at DAJ42.
And Andrea, how about you? What about your final thoughts?
My final thought is if you plan on buying something bookish, something printed, something that's a dead tree, do your best to get it from an independent retailer.
Yes, always.
Yeah.
Yep. I have to give my plug to the independent bookstores out there.
Oh, sure. Yeah, there's some fantastic independent booksellers out there. We've got Tattered Cover here in Denver. I talk about them all the time. And you've got Borderlands up in San Francisco. There's actually a couple other ones here because someone actually just tagged me on Twitter. Or it was John DiNardo. So someone asked him for the names of independent booksellers in the Denver area. Biggest one is obviously Tattered Cover. There's a couple of other ones on it's called the Broadway Book Mall. They're like two doors down from each other. And I think it's like What's It Books or something like that, or Who Is It Books, and then there's another one right down the street from them. So, but there's like three Tattered Covers here in Denver, and support your local bookstores. And Tattered Cover is a fantastic bookstore. I love
that's
them.
Awesome.
And I will be there in March.
Oh, you're going to be here in March? Are you for like signing for the Prudence?
I am. I'm coming on the Prudence tour. Yeah, just found out. Shh, don't tell anybody. Oh, wait.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, you have to come to town and let me know when you're going to be here. We'll have to go out so you can buy me dinner.
Uh-huh.
Well, and the other thing about the independent booksellers is a lot of times they will have the signed copies of the books that you're looking for, the autographed copies.
That's a really... that's a really good thing to note, is that it's always worth checking with your local indie to see if they have signed editions, because most of us, when we go out on tour, sign stock for the bookstores that we visit. And so even if you've missed your favorite author or your friend's favorite author, if they were in your area at all recently, there's a good chance that the local indie they visited has books in stock that have been signed.
Do you know when you're going to come in, or which Tattered Cover you're going to be at, Gail?
I do not. I don't have any official details yet at all. But
there's three different ones. So you got the one in what we call Lodo. There's the one on Colfax, and there's the one on Highlands Ranch. And a lot of times what they do is when you come through, if you've been to one before, they kind of rotate you. So you go to a different one this time, and then a different one the next time, and then they start over.
Yeah, I don't know which one it is. But speaking of the signed books, if you want signed Gail Carriger's, you can get them from my local bookstore, which is Borderlands Books in San Francisco. I just went in and signed all their stock. So right now, every Gail Carriger book they have in stock has been signed.
And Borderlands is awesome.
And they're wonderful. They're really a fantastic indie.
I really wish that
the nicest people and fan people.
I really wish that I lived in a city that actually had an independent bookstore in it.
You don't have a bookstore?
My city is very, very sad when it comes to reading. It actually has one of the lowest literacy rates in the province. Oh, wow. It's really, really sad.
That's sad.
Yeah.
All right. And how about this, Gail? Why don't you throw out your final thoughts?
My final thought is that we have talked a lot about paying out money, small or large amounts of money for objects and things and stuff. And I just want to say that not everybody, you know, can afford to be that generous, but that most people, if they love you and you love them, would be really happy with some time. So it's always a good idea to give experiences, even if that experience is come on over and I will cook you a dinner, or let's go for a walk on the beach together, or something like that. So one of the things that my friends and I will often do is give each other just little sort of IOU books, like let's go out and do this thing together, or let's go to a manicure together, or something like that, just to, you know, so you don't really have to buy anything. You can just give the gift of your own time, and that's pretty precious to most people. So
aww.
I guess that's it.
And Jeff, how about you? What are your final thoughts?
Well, I half expected you to mention the fact that a couple of years ago I put out a modestly priced ebook of holiday stories, but I sometimes expect too much of you. But it is available, called Solstice Chronicles. But my holiday stories from the past 20-odd, whatever years now, are going up one a day on Twitter, JeffPatterson11, the Bad Day Studio Holiday Tale of the Day.
You know, you're absolutely right, Jeff. I don't probably talk about it enough, but there are a lot of the SF Signal irregulars who have different things out there that people could purchase and kind of give away. So, for example, Jeff has his Solstice Chronicles. Karen Burnham has a great Greg Egan book. That's
an awesome book. Yeah.
That would be a wonderful gift. I know that Scott Cupp was part of an anthology. I've been part of several anthologies. There's a lot of stuff out there that are the SF Signal regulars, contributors, that are contributing out there and have stories and books and all that kind of good stuff. Lisa Pate Spindler has the Spiral Path book. These are all wonderful things that you would be giving twofold, because you could purchase them for someone else as a gift, and then you're also, you know, supporting an irregular. So I could probably do a better job of promoting those things. And of course, you know, I mean, Gail is also an irregular, and Gail has books out there.
Aw, just a few.
Stina Light has books. She's been a contributor for a long time. She's been on the podcast.
Yeah.
Tons of things out there that people could, you know, purchase, and it's like a twofold gift.
Or there's the good old trick, if you're a huge podcast fan. Again, this is me, so I'm like, if you have time but not money, just take some time to write a bunch of reviews on iTunes for your favorite podcast. It's one of the nicest things you can do for podcasters, and all it takes is a bit of typing on the computer. Even if you don't subscribe on iTunes, it just helps the podcast out if you write the review there.
You can do that for work on Goodreads, or, you know, anywhere you
post books
online.
Yeah, absolutely. The single best thing you can do for an author is write a review and buy their book,
yes,
of course.
Yeah.
But writing the review is really very generous with your time, and it really helps us out a lot.
And hey, if you have a lot of books and you need something to keep your place, I do custom bookmarks. You can go buy those. Shameless plug.
There you go. That's awesome. Well, thanks everybody for coming on. This has been a wonderful show. And I just think, you know, go out and give the gift of reading.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you.
And happy holidays to everybody.
Happy holidays.
Thank you for listening to the Hugo Award-winning SF Signal podcast. Your host is Patrick Hester, an author, a blogger, and a functional nerd. His website is www.atfmb.com, which stands for All Things From My Brain. ATFMB is also his Twitter handle and where you can find him on Facebook. Our podcast is available for download every week at sfsignal.com or via iTunes. Look for the links to subscribe in the sidebar at sfsignal.com or search SF Signal in iTunes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please tell your friends and have them tell their friends and so on and so on. Visit the Hugo Award-winning sfsignal.com for all of your speculative fiction needs. John D. and the SF Signal regulars offer up new content every day, from weekly mind melds featuring your favorite authors, editors, and artists from the SF and F field, to book reviews, original articles and essays, fiction deals, movie reviews, videos, links and roundup posts, and more. Click the RSS button in the sidebar of your browser to ensure you never miss a post. The SF Signal podcast is powered by the Functional Nerds.
Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Angry robot.
Magic wooey.
Wah, wah.
Thinking and crap.
And scene.